Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dabblers. And today we're discussing all things writing, but also going to save up some space for our usual shenanigans.
Shenanigans. How have you been, buddy?
Yeah, I've been alright. Quick intro. I'm Quentin. He's the Shogun.
Yeah, just forget intros. Right. This is episode 9. If you care, you know. If you don't know,
you know who the hell it is. Now you know.
If you don't know, now you know, nigga.
Oh man, that's what I'm doing, man. I had a very angry day. Oh, yeah, a very awful fucking day, man. You know, the whole femicide thing in South Africa. At first I thought it was a global thing, and then there was a time like a year or so ago when I started like looking at them. Like, okay, let me actually check out the stats, you know. And then only to find out that like SA is like South Africa's like leading the whole world in terms of rapes, killings of women, etc.
Yeah, it's bloody disgusting, mate.
It's like, that's so fucking disgusting. Like, how the f- what is it, like a culture? Do these people like, do they have like a chat group on like WhatsApp where they text each other like, all right, this week is our target is like 25 people. The fuck, like
so it does feel like there's something happening where it's becoming a thing, you know, like
it is.
Things, so something like this should not be a thing. A thing that people like accept like as a fact, like, oh yeah. There's so many deaths. It just seems wrong. It just seems really messed up, dude. Like,
it is super messed up. Because usually I think at least three, four times a day, I'll come across a post or someone will show me. One of the reasons I don't use social media as much is because like I don't want to run across that sort of thing. But like when I'm there, I'll come across a post or like someone will show me a post, be like, oh man, this is what happened. Check out what happened to this girl. She got chopped up and chucked in a sports bag or something. And then someone will show me a post and they're like, yeah, this 15-year-old kid has been missing for 5 days. The family's looking for her. And then the day goes on and you hear about this other kid who's missing, 17 years old, 18 years old, is missing. The family's looking for her. 33-year-old woman got killed by her husband. Boyfriend couldn't get over the breakup, stabbed the girl. It's always on and on. And the crazy thing is, like, it's always going, but like you don't hear anything from people in power. You don't hear anything from the government. You don't hear anything from the lawmakers. You don't hear any laws getting drafted. You don't hear anything. You just hear the president or some fucking stupid ass official come up and saying, oh, we're so sorry this happened. And then they go to the funeral of the high profile murder that happened, because there's always a high profile murder that catches everybody's attention and makes people go crazy.
Yeah.
And then the crazy thing is, there's always one political party that will show up and like cordon off the whole thing. There will never be all of them. It'll either be like the EFF or like the ruling ANC party or any other parties. They'll show up there and then it'll be just them. The leader will be there looking all sorrowful and talking about how we can't believe this happened to our girls. But what the fuck are you doing about it?
That's the problem, right? Like, they're doing nothing. They're just sitting on their hands. Like, if you think about it, like, what's happening with the police? Like this is a major issue. Like, you can't even send, like, if your mother goes outside, like, dude, just the panic, dude, the fear. I can't even imagine that.
It's crazy because, like, I always get hit by that panic because my mom isn't the type of, she's too old to be out in the night at late. So, like, if I'm at home on an off day or whatever, I know that most definitely by the time it's like 6 p.m. or like later 7 p.m., she'll be in the house. She'll be there. So if like 7:30 hits and she's not there and like I call and like the phone's not getting answered, my brain goes places. I'm always thinking, oh, fuck. They probably like chucked her in a car and she's in a boot or something. I'm always freaking out. And then like it's always like that. Anyone that I know, if I hear stuff like, oh, I get a text. There's this thing that happened back in 2019. There's this girl that I dated and I hadn't talked to her for a while. And out of nowhere, I got the text from my dad. And she's like, and the dad is like, hey, yo, man, have you seen her? She hasn't been home for like 2 days and we can't fucking find her. And I'm like, what? And they just put out the post. And then it turns out that Well, the third was like she'd gone to Polokwane with like some party bus or something. But still,
Oh, thank God.
it's that scary thing where like if a girl disappears in this country, it's almost a foregone conclusion that she's been murdered and raped, or one or the other, or
That's
both.
precisely what I don't like. That it's become a thing that you're just like, oh, wait, already you start fearing the absolute worst. Like the UK is not like a perfect country, but since I come here, I don't feel that amount of panic. There was an incident here like a few weeks ago, but I don't feel that amount of panic when my mother goes outside here. I don't feel what you feel, like,
You
honestly.
see, that's where the difference comes in, isn't it? Because like in the UK, you had one incident and there was an uproar. Everybody lost their minds. Like, how the fuck does that even happen? And then this side, it's a miracle if you have one incident in a day. People, if there's one incident in a day, people are like, holy fucking shit. Props to the murders for sitting at home and not going murdering today, you know? And that's, and like you said, it's fucked up to think that it's a thing that's become a culture in the minds of people in the country where they sort of accept it as a thing that's a part of living in South Africa at this point.
That's
And man,
disgusting. Yeah.
it's fucking disgusting. And as much as like older people, like I always say, older people at the bar, everyone who's not in a governmental position or in an official position where they can have some kind of power to do anything. And I'm talking fucking judges, I'm talking government officials, whatever, anyone who has any kind of power to be able to challenge shit like this. If the fact they're, I'm not saying all of them are sitting on their hands. I'm pretty sure there's a small portion of people that are out there screaming their fucking lungs out for something to be done. But like the ones with the actual voices, with the actual like pen to write things that could change shit, they're not doing anything. That's the thing that fucking makes me angry the most. And that
Yeah.
leads to people doing lawless things. And I absolutely fucking condone that shit, because as much as morals and the fucking Bible and all that shit talks about how the Bible will obviously be like, leave it up to God. God will figure it out. That person will pay. Nah, he really won't. And then morals are always like, oh no, let the law take its course. But the law in SA ain't worth shit. The people
It's rubbish,
would
yeah.
get It's rubbish. A guy could rape 50 women and kill 35. They'll give him a triple life sentence where he goes and where he'll be sleeping in a warm bed and then eating three square meals a day. Sure, he'll get bombed in his first month, but all he has to do is kill a guard and he's in. He's good. Other than that, there's no death row, no fucking. They're not gonna. He knows, like, that guy knows it's not gonna get hanged. He knows there's a chance that he can apply for parole and look all sorrowful in court and. Hell, that guy could walk out with a fucking degree by the time he walks out of prison. You know what I mean? That's the crazy thing. But anyway, I don't want to be going on a
Wow.
whole tangent this entire thing.
I just wish
But
we knew how to stop making that guy exist. Like, how can we stop that guy? How can we do something to make sure that that guy doesn't grow up to become that guy? You know what I mean? I
I
just wish there was
think
a way to just nip that in the bud, like, really up.
it's. There's a lot of things that just could be like nipped in the bud, because and another reason why there's always that many of that guy who rape and murder people is because there's a lot of kids. Again, it's another statistic that is leading in the world. There's a lot of kids in South Africa that don't have like male role models. You know what I mean? Like you, and then that I think intertwines with the fact that in the end, the femicide and the rape culture is a part of life where like a kid could grow up and be like, okay, so this is happening, and I don't really see anything bad happening to the people doing any of this, apart from the
Yeah.
every once in a while, every few months or once a year or whatever, there's one mob justice event where it's like, yay, we stoned these guys to death, and then that's it, but other than that.
I never actually thought about that. That's an interesting idea that you bring up, because I think of the two of us, and like we technically had some. I At least I have that now. But I mean, there were times there where, yeah, there was no male role model present, and I wonder what that. I feel like we've turned out well though, so I don't know if we I still feel like it's a weak like a thing, because like I never thought, hey, I'm gonna feed off these women because I
I'm
got
gonna
that.
read.
Like that is not, that's ridiculous to me. This
So I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, all these
should be
things
investigated, yeah.
should be like looked into, because there's nothing being done. But anyway, like I said, this could be like a whole other episode on its own, but we're here for a different reason. So to kick this one off, one legendary manga artist, and Japan has a lot of them, but this particular one's one of my favorite because he drew Berserk.
Kentaro Miura.
Yes, Kentaro Miura. Thing is, I didn't know the guy started drawing Berserk in 1989, man. I didn't know that. I didn't know he started drawing Berserk in 1989.
Berserk
Because
is one of the old ones.
it is. It's definitely up there with One Piece in terms of like age and longevity. I only discovered Berserk in like 2015, 2016, somewhere there. And that was through the movies. And I was literally just captured by the poster. Checked out the movies, then I found out that the movies were actually like a remake of this original series. And then after that, there was a remake of the films, which became, well, the yeah, it was a the series that came that started in 2018, I think. I could be corrected. 2018 was a continuation for the movies and the original show had stopped. So yeah, and then it's some sad news for the manga community. And
Yeah,
he's
I've
still
seen
trending,
it.
you know?
I've seen it
Because
all over my timelines. Like it's like you can see when somebody has inspired a bunch of other people too. Like where you get artists going, oh man, he meant so much to me, or his work did this to me, or his work was really influential in me becoming the artist I am. It's always
Definitely, definitely.
great to see that.
And the interesting thing about this, I think we can agree is like, well, for me personally, I always felt like if when I get to a stage where I can start constantly being able to make things, film, shows, publish stories wherever they can be seen by people, I've always my one of my main solitary goals has always been like, I wanna if I can get good enough, if I can make enough to be able to inspire another person in the way, your Spielbergs and your Tarantinos and your Mahershala Ali's and all these people that I could go on and on naming, your Chadwick Bosemans, sort of inspired me to make stuff. All right, I think that's an unspoken goal for every artist, whether they realize it or not, for any creative, whether they realize it or not. In a way, it's all about creating a legacy, because you make something so people can see it. When people see it, they get inspired. I don't know. Yeah, I think we can agree on that.
No, actually, we cannot. I make some things for myself. No, there's some things I've written this week, and I don't want anybody to see them ever. Ever. I want them to just go and die somewhere. And I don't want my name to be attached to them, but I have written them. I did it with my hands. It was me, but nobody should see it. Please don't get inspired from what I wrote. No. Hasn't been a good week. I've had to write some things I'm not proud
Yeah,
of at all.
nah. So yeah, like we said at the top of the show, writing is something that we're, well, finishing content basically is what we want to get into, and you got all the stuff that that we're gonna dive into. So
Yes,
what are we getting
I
first?
wanted to talk about methods, you know, because I was going on the AuthorTubes. Basically, AuthorTubes is like the community on YouTube of writers that post videos about the process. They talk about ways they used, we all just trying to get to that last page where we can write the end. All of us are just trying to get there. And that's the goal. But it's sometimes really difficult just to do the first bit, which is to sit down and start. Like that, just that stuff can stop you writing your tracks. And if you do start, then you need to keep on going. It's like I came across a few terms, and I was just gonna ask you, like, have you ever done this? So one of the popular things I've seen on the AutoTubes is people talking about a 24-hour write-a-thon. Okay, so you sit down 24 hours.
Jesus.
It's not exactly 24 hours, it's like
Yeah.
you're writing the whole day, 24 hours, except there's pockets in between where you take coffees and stuff. You gotta
Yeah,
get some
yeah.
coffee, some tea, some food, you know what I mean? But it's basically like the whole day all you're doing is writing. Have you ever had that?
I mean, as you were throwing out that question, like I started to think up about some of the past crazy write-a-thons that I had, and going all the way back to like to 2016, when I got a job on Upwork to actually finish a book that I was writing and then sell it. I had some pretty insane write-a-thons. Those I think I was pushing like 10 hour, 14 hour, 15 hour writing sessions. I'm not sure if I went as far. I think the last day when it was like the day before deadline day, because like the day before that deadline day, I remember writing the whole day. I was literally in my room the whole day that time. I literally just go out, grab a coffee, get some food, go back to my room, sit in front of the computer, type, 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 and then I remember when I finished, and like the sun is coming up the next day. I was like, "What the fuck?" Okay, and then I went back to sleep. I think that was the closest I ever. I think that was one of the one 24-hour write-a-thon I ever had, because everything else is like it's like compressing. Everything else has been compressing 15 hours of work into 4 hours. So that's
I feel
yeah.
like
So I don't know about you on that.
I don't think I've ever gone. Man, 24 hours is a lot. Like when you think of it, like 24 hours, it's a lot. It's a lot,
It's a lot
lot.
of time.
I think I've done 12 recently. I feel like I did like a 12-hour one. Like that was like last week. That was last week for me. I needed, I feel, was it last week or the week before last? I needed to get something done, and I just had to sit there, and I couldn't move. I would take some coffees, but I couldn't move until that thing was done. I just sat there and just typed my way through. Some moments were slow, some moments were fast, but I just knew I just have to sit here. As long as I sit here in front of this thing, if I don't care if there's a podcast on the side, if there's like some anime episode on the side, but as long as I'm typing away, it's fine. I'm gonna get through this and go to the end. 24 hours just feels like death, absolute death.
24 hours is a lot, and like I can't it's a lot. It's insane, 'cause but I think like you can only do a 24-hour write-a-thon if like you said, in terms of the process, if you know exactly what you want to do. I'm not I think there's something that we're going to dive into a little later, how the writing process actually works, but like a little window into that is like, with me, I can never write a story if I don't know how it ends. I can know the start, I can know the middle, but if in my head I haven't if in my head I haven't if I if in my head I don't have a line that ends the story, if in my head I don't have a sequence for how the story ends, even if I don't know the character names, even if I don't know the villain, if I don't have anything that I can definitively say, huh, that's a pretty fucking good ending, I will never write it. I just can't.
Like you are lucky, because I have a few drafts where that's the reason I stopped the draft, is because I started it and I was like, oh, cool idea. But midway through, my subconscious took over, and I was like, the subconscious was like, going nowhere. So you know what? I'm just gonna throw a grenade in there. Like this character is gonna have something crazy happen that makes no sense whatsoever, and you don't really know what's happening. And then I read it like the next day. I'm like, what the hell happened here? It was going fine, but then somewhere there was like a turn, and then we just went into some craziness. So I think that's quite important, especially if you're doing a 24-hour write-a-thon. You're gonna have some nonsense in there. There's gonna be some trash.
Dude, there's gonna be so much trash. Like you, I feel like with the 24-hour write-a-thon, at the next day after you've gotten the rest, after you've slept and your brain is refreshed, and then you open that, and then you open up your laptop and you go to that piece of work, and then you start reading through it. There's a section where you're gonna reach and you're gonna be like, wait a minute, this is trash. This part here, this whole 15 pages is trash. You're gonna have to figure out how to save that or get rid of that,
That's why they call it, I guess, some people call the first draft the piece of shit draft. I see why, you know? 'Cause, but I also like the fact that the thing with the 24-hour write-a-thon, I think it's mainly for that first draft. So it is mainly about getting to a place where you finish your stuff. That's the goal here. It's just trying to make good progress on finishing the thing. It's not trying to perfect it into like the most beautiful thing in the world. It's just trying to make it to the end. 'Cause like I feel like one of the things that I have that has stopped me like in my writing process is not getting to the end on things. That's probably been the biggest problem. But okay, we spent a lot of time on these 24 hours. This is something I told you about a long time ago, but I don't know if you ever tried. I feel like we all naturally do it, like instinctively, but
What's
some
it?
people don't have a word for it. It's called a writing sprint, a writing sprint. So you write for 5 minutes, then you take it a 1 minute break or 2 minute break, whatever. And then you write for another 5 minutes. But when you write for that 5 minutes, you're locked in, right? So you lock in for 5 minutes and then you pull out and then you're back. And then you like, you distract yourself again, or you go on Pinterest and look at cool character designs or something like that. And I started noticing that I naturally do this. It's not always like 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 15 minutes, but I have a very short attention span. So naturally, I find myself, okay, I'm scrolling on my Twitter, but I was supposed to be writing, right? Do you ever do that?
It does happen to me, because but with me it's way worse, because it's like I'll write for maybe 20 minutes, and then I'll be like, you know what, I'll be back. I just want to quickly go on YouTube, check out this trailer,
Oh,
and then
God.
an hour will pass by, and I'll find myself, watching an episode. I'll be like 5 episodes into like Family Guy or something. And then I'll look at that, and then I'll look at that story, and I'll be like, okay, I think I should get back to it now. And then I'll be like, but you know what? No, there's actually like there's an episode of NXT. I should probably just check out NXT right now.
That's the
And then another hour
problem.
passes by. And then eventually we've gone from 12 p.m. I was supposed to start writing at 12 p.m. Then it's like 7 p.m. and then that writing sprint hits. Then it's like bah, 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 bah. Hours. Then it's like stop.
Whoa, that's something else. You see, there you said hours, right? That's not a sprint anymore. A sprint is a
It's a marathon.
short, it's a short time. You see, you hit what we call the oh man, I was supposed to write this thing hours ago. It's now midnight. Now I gotta do this. Time's running out. You know, this is what happens to college students who have an assignment the
Dude,
next day.
I
Like
did
the
not
whole
miss
day is
that chip.
wasted. They waste the whole day, and then at midnight they're like, "Oh my God!" And then everything starts to happen. The good thing about the writing sprint is you basically set your timer for 5 minutes, right? And then as you're writing, you click 5 minutes. So the clock goes down, and then when you've been writing for 5 minutes, you get the message, ding, 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 then you stop, right? And then you set the clock, and then you have like a the idea is not to have a long break in between. It's just 30 seconds. 30 seconds to pull back and then jump back in. And if you notice, if you do this for like an hour, 2 hours, you will notice that you won't feel the time passing you by the way through normally. And
I
you
need to
also
try that.
notice, yeah, one of the crazy things is that you actually get a lot of stuff done. Like slowly but surely, you get a lot of stuff done. You actually realize that writing is not necessarily always about the time that you spend writing, because a lot of people imagine the best way to like get into something and finish something would be just like 5 hours deep in this draft, like your brain just complete focus. Like not everybody can do that. Like hours of focus, that isn't easy enough for all of us to do, unless there's panic involved. Panic makes things so much easier. Also, when I was researching writing sprints, I came across this thing called the Pomodoro technique, which is like you do 25 minutes and then you take a little break in between, like 5 minutes, and you do another 25 minutes and do like another 5 minutes, which I feel like is the more it's a more advanced version of the writing of the like super short writing sprint. Because the super short writing sprint, I think, are for people like me with like just terrible, horrible attention span. But the Pomodoro technique, I feel like most people can do 25 minutes, I feel like, of writing. That's okay. That's doable.
Yeah, I feel like it's doable to write it, but then sometimes, I mean, you know that you can sit 25 minutes staring at two sentences and wondering where those two sentences are actually going, you know?
Okay, so you mentioned writing techniques. I actually wasn't going to discuss them today. I was only going to do like just how to complete things. But since you mentioned it, where are you now in the camp between planning and just free flowing pantsing? Just where are you on that scale these days?
It's interesting you asked that, because until like a month ago, I was much more of a in my head, you know, write down character names in a notebook guy. I would have the story in my head, figure out the ending, you figure out some parts of the middle, figure out the start. But then there'll be large chunks that are just blank, and I'll be like, you know what, I'll figure out the rest. I'll know the characters that are in there. I'll write down all the characters, write down all the descriptions. But that's as far as I would get in terms of writing stuff down. And then from this, like, just all the stuff that's in my head, and I'll just write it all down into a story. Blah, 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 blah. But then about a month ago, when the two projects hit for the film things, I started realizing that, hey man, I need to write down a lot more stuff. So I found myself writing like full on character bibles, and then writing like full on breakdowns for how for how each act will go. I wrote literally every little like sentence and thing that can happen, you know, just so I have a roadmap. So I know that when I reach that checkpoint, I know, okay, so all of that should have happened in this sequence. By the time I reach that checkpoint, this should have happened. So
Can I
I
ask you a
now,
question though? Because these were both like technically they were both from like script stuff. Do you find that there's a difference between how you approach scripts and novels?
yeah, definitely. I think there's definitely a difference for me, because I feel like with the script, it's more like with the script, it's like you're in a way designing it. Well, for me, in a way, I feel like I'm designing a character for a person that I've built up in my mind to play it. So like in my head, whenever I'm writing a line, I'm always thinking, okay, cool. So I'm writing this line, but how do I want the person to deliver it? And then with that, I end up describing sometimes it's delivered in this way in like brackets. And then in terms of scenes, it's like just pretty much like just literally telling a person, or like literally just writing for either the person who's reading the script or the person who's going to be like directing, like, okay, this is how this is sort of supposed to look, but you can like have your own wiggle room. With the novel, it's more like, hey man, the story goes like this. This is the story. This is what happened. You can't change it, because that's how it happened. You know, I don't know if that even makes any sense, but
Yeah, but in
yeah.
terms of like the planning versus, just going with the flow thing, like in terms of the script versus a novel, Which one are you more, which one do you plan out a bit more?
I found that I plan out the scripts way more. I think I've planned out every script that I've ever written. I've planned it out, planned them out in detail, all of them,
That's
all of
strange
them.
because I found the same thing as well. I don't know why it is that my brain, whenever it's a script, I'm just like I usually like you know me in novels, I just go with the flow. And it's funny that you said this past month as well, because this past month has revealed a lot of bad things that I was doing to myself. One of them is telling myself that I don't need a plan. Listen, some people can go out like that, but that there was a moment like 3 weeks ago where I wrote this fight scene, and the next day I was reading it and I was like, I don't like this at all. I don't like this at all. And the reason why is because if you ever see a fight scene in a movie, right? A lot of people think that, you know, sometimes the stuntmen they just go, or the actors they just go. No, they don't. They plan those fight scenes out. The best ones are like choreographed, even like just a regular like chase scene, like oh, like it's a bunch of people on motorbikes like chasing after this dude in this car, like everything's planned, and there's something like to be said about especially things like fight scenes and that kind of stuff. Like everything else, I'm fine with, like dialogue and stuff like that, I'm okay with figuring it out, but combat. I need a plan, especially when there's magic being hurled. It's like that's a different level of strategy. Yeah.
It's crazy you mentioned, you know, the planning of a fight scene thing, because last year when I was filming the short horror film, I wrote a sequence which was in a way a fight sequence, but I wrote it in my head. I thought, this is pretty simple. It's just like, you know, spring bang swish swash. It's done. It's just like it's a little thing, and then when we got to actually shooting it, and then I'm like, okay guys, so which this is the scene that we're doing next. I need you to do this and that one. Then I'm like, action, and then like I watched them approach each other. And so to describe the scene, it was basically like the ghost pirate had the cutlass in his hand, and the sequence was basically like the chick is trained so she can dodge a few of the swish slashes, then like somehow disarm the ghost pirate and, you know, have the cutlass in her hand and like just go at it. In my head, it was way simpler. In my head, I was like, anybody can fucking do this. Then I'm watching them, like, and I'm like, fuck, I needed a choreographer. I need a plan. And then I was just like, you know, describing the whole scene, because it was shambles. It was just terrible. So definitely, fight scenes is something that just always needs to be planned, I think. So,
Yeah.
and that was the first time I had to actually deal with like an action sequence. So, and then staying in the same vein, I remember when I was watching the short Mortal Kombat documentary for the new one, and the
Yeah.
director, what's this? No, not the director. It was, is it, you'll tell me if I'm saying his name right. Merkad Brooks, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about Joe Taslim and how like, whenever and how like Joe Taslim literally had to be told to slow down because he
Yeah.
was moving way too fast for the camera. And it's like, okay, you don't think about things like that, you know?
Yeah, I
So
was
yeah.
thinking about that as well, because like the problem is there's a lot of people who are like, oh man, movie fight scenes suck. Like I'm so bored by all these action scenes. But we don't actually realize why we are bored by these fight scenes, you know? And like it isn't easy to like make an action scene that really cracks, you know what I mean? And as a martial artist, Joe Taslim is thinking, I can't, I shouldn't, like there's certain things you do in martial arts too, where you're like, you don't want your opponent to like see certain things coming. In movies, it works kind of differently. Like the way energy works, like it almost helps the person who's watching. Like when you like really like just throw your punch like from all the way back and you send it forward. It adds a certain level of impact. Just things like that that you don't really think about, but like you have to approach them so differently now.
Definitely, yeah. So yeah, so yeah, definitely. So scripts, I don't know why. I don't know why. You also don't know why, but
They're
like,
probably shorter though. I feel like they're a little shorter and stuff.
yeah, no,
Much
definitely,
shorter
definitely.
than novels. I feel like novels cover like if you see the novel that's like, I don't know, 100,000 words, right? It just covers so much more than a script that's 100 pages because the
It
script
does. It
is so
does.
tight. Like a script has to be tight, like this, you know?
With the script, you don't really have like a lot of wiggle room for shenanigans. You gotta it's I guess it's gotta be really tight. Everything needs to have like a purpose in a script. Sometimes you read a book and you're like, okay, that happened, but I didn't really do anything for the story. It's a moment that you know those moments when you're reading a book and like this joke is said and you laugh about it by yourself. But like if I came to you at the end of the day, if you read a book the whole day and it came to you, and I'm like, okay, dude, so like 3 hours ago you laughed at this thing, what was it? You'd be like, what? Oh, I don't remember what it was laughing at, but it was a joke in the book, man. So that's the thing.
But you definitely remember more jokes in the movie, won't you? This is just less of
Exactly.
them.
Yeah. All
Yeah,
right.
okay.
Yeah.
So the next part of this, I think, should be what have we watched this week? I feel like we've done a lot of talk about writing. So we should probably discuss what we've watched this week. I'm gonna throw out Love, Death and Robots season 2
Oh
now,
yes. Oh my
just in case
God.
we forget. What did you think about this one compared to of Love, Death and Robots?
If in terms of like comparisons, I feel like season two suffered the curse of the sequel not being as good as the original. I mean, the Love, Death, Robots season two is great. It really is, but like it didn't hit as hard as the first season. Like if I put season one and season two side by side in my head, I can definitively remember like a lot more episodes of season one, like the episode in season one where like these farmers were using giant mechs to fight off aliens, and that one episode with Dracula. There's episodes and moments that just stand out on their own. There's a lot of things that stand out in season one. Season two, it's a good season, but like, if I don't watch it again, in a few months I won't really remember, definitive episodes other than like the fact that a guy like Michael B. Jordan was in one of the episodes. It's a great season. I really enjoyed it, but like I felt like in terms of like quality, it kind of went down a few pegs.
I'm actually interested in that idea too. Like, I'm kind of wondering why the quality went down. Because technically, I watched this review, right? And the guy was like, he felt like season one was too long in the tooth. And I was like, but they are all different stories. So how can you like get
Dude.
tired of this season? Like they're all just a bunch of different stories. So how can it be too long in the tooth? It's not like a series. They're all just a bunch
Yeah.
of different things. So I felt like I'd eaten something, but I was still hungry afterwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I had a pie, but it just wasn't filling. I
Dude,
needed more.
you had a pie, but what you really needed was a burger, man. You know what
Yeah, not just a burger, a big burger.
I
I need a whole meal, you know what I mean? And season
mean?
one had 18 episodes, you know? 18
Dude.
episodes.
Oh.
And season two. Now, I know that sometime soon, that season three is coming out at some point, you know? So we're gonna get that. But it's actually just next year. But I still feel I just feel like I wanted more episodes. I wanted more time in these worlds.
Gee, it's that same thing. The time thing that you just mentioned now is something in season one, whenever I got to watching an episode, I'd be like, please let it be 20 minutes. Because there were, I think there were like three or four episodes in the first season that were 20 minutes. Then the others were like 15, 10, 8. Whenever there was a 20-minute episode, I'd be like, yes, yes. And then this season, there wasn't an episode that went past like the 15-minute mark. I might be wrong, but I feel like I watched a lot of episodes. I
No,
finished the whole thing
if
in
there
one
was,
day.
there was like maybe two of them or something. They were
Yeah,
definitely very much shorter.
nothing past the 15-minute mark. Nothing, like I said, it's still a good season, but nothing really like,
Do you have any standouts? I have the list of the episodes here. First one was automated customer service, the one where the lady's automated crazy.
The vacuum cleaner that tries to murder her.
Dude, this one was kind of funny. It was really funny. I
It
really
was
enjoyed it.
really. I enjoyed that episode, to be honest. I also enjoyed it. It was really freaking funny. At some point, I thought she was gonna die. The whole time, I was afraid she was dying in his stomach. But the fact that she made it out and like all these vacuum cleaners are coming after you, I'm like, that's some funny
Dude,
shit.
and the customer service is such an asshole. Like, it's such a
Dude.
so dickish, dude. I was
Such a
like,
dick. This
yeah, I was
guy's
like,
like,
this.
kill it yet? Like, what?
It perfectly like put down like that feeling you have when you actually have to call customer service sometimes. Like, honestly, sometimes it can suck. Sometimes
Dude.
customer service suck. But the
It's
second
like, what?
episode was ICE, and I heard that the same people who did ICE did the Zima Blue episode in season one. Do you if you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that one. And now that you mention it, like
The style is the same, yeah.
the animation is more or less the same,
Yeah.
The animation is very similar.
It's a very
Well, with
simple,
I
like, sibling story. Nothing really.
yeah, nothing really hectic.
It didn't stand out for me, I'll be
It
honest.
didn't. It didn't. It was for me, that was just like, okay, I'm watching this episode to get on to the next one, kind of thing.
Speaking of the next one, Pop Squad. I actually kind of dug Pop Squad a little bit. Like, it was I kind of enjoyed it. Nolan North, you know Nolan North from his video game stuff. He
I'm a
did
big, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Nolan North. I love that guy,
yeah, like, so Pop Squad was really nice about this thing where the rich are really, really rich and immortal, and to have that stuff, they have to make sure that nobody has babies. And this guy like has to kill children, which is like dark as hell,
Dude,
considering
that was
where the season
dark.
started with automated customer service. It's like they gave us the final episode because they knew what was coming was some dark stuff, dude.
Dark. That was dark. I remember the moment when it's like, I'm gonna take care of the kids, and I'm like, okay, he's probably gonna like call child protective services or
Yeah.
something. But he just pulls out a gun. It's like, whoa, hey, what the hell just happened?
Dude, that was disturbing. It was very disturbing stuff. And the world was very like, man, I hate calling Blade Runner this thing. But it was, that typical cyber, I don't know if I could say cyberpunk, but like futuristic sci-fi stuff, that aesthetic. Just beautiful.
But the thing is, like, we always use Blade Runner because there is no other comparison. There hasn't been like that many cyberpunk futuristic people replacing their limbs with like implants and like that.
We need
So
more. I want more movies like that, yeah.
I do. I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to see Ghost in the Shell so much, the live action version anyway, because
Yes.
it had that same, even though it was like a whole, it was trash, but like, and that, I think that's also another reason why I enjoyed Alita: Battle Angel, because the world is also that, like, is futuristic kind of feel. We
Yeah.
need more movies like that, man.
Yeah, that's what I need too. Like, I need more movies because I'm like, and the ones we're getting, okay, cool, but I think we need more so that the quality starts to like go up, and I start to see different potentials for that aesthetic too. But yeah, Blade Runner, yeah, it sort of defines like cyberpunk now when I think about it, like in
It
my head.
does.
We'll see
It
though. So the next one is snow in the desert, which is like
Okay,
a
I actually really enjoyed snow.
I heard it described as like a space western. Yeah. You said you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed snow. I can't really point out what it was about it, but there was just something really cool about it. I think one of the things that I enjoyed the most was the environment.
Yeah, it looks so good.
It looks so good. And that whole thing about like if you're outside, you need a day tent because like the sun will fuck you up. That was a really cool concept for me. And and the whole this dude is immortal, so like his genealogy is in his balls. Like that's fucking genius.
I like it. I like it. I like it. It's one of those where I'm like, there could be something there for you see. There's something there.
Exactly. I think Snow in the Desert is probably the one episode in that season that made me wish that the whole thing could be turned into a show of its own,
It kind of makes me think of like The Mandalorian for some reason. Okay, I think
Right.
it's that Western vibe where like one guy in the desert stuff just trying to survive, and then there's people
Yeah.
after him. That
It's
vibe.
coming.
That's a cool vibe. The next one was the tall grass, which for me was a
The tall grass reminds me of a horror movie. I still can't remember the name right now today. I tried to remember the
I
name the
feel
other
like there's a
day.
movie called In the Tall Grass.
Yes, that's the one. So in that
Stephen
horror movie,
King.
like Stephen King, yes. I love that guy, even though I've never read any of his work. I love his adaptations. In the tall grass, basically like these people walk into this tall grass and they never ever escape. And then like there's some freaky shit happening in there. So that episode of Love, Death, Robots reminded me of that film in its entirety, and the fact that dude almost couldn't find his way out, and the whole lost souls thing. Because also in the Stephen King one, there's a lot of lost souls in that grass. So it was a
Yeah.
cool. I feel like in a way. In a sense, it felt like in a sense, it felt like it was a tribute to Steve.
Maybe that might make more sense. But for me, I think the problem was I just watched the Demon Slayer movie, and so
Oh
I was almost missing a somebody to come save him who is a Demon Slayer.
dude, hang on. We gotta pause for a second. How painful was it to watch Rengoku die, man?
Oh, okay, spoilers, but cool. Anyway,
Whoever's watching this gotta be used to the spoilers by now. We drop these things like jewels.
it's too late. Anyway, like it sucked, man. It sucked. I didn't expect to be seeing that. I don't know why. I didn't expect to be seeing it like something like that in the movie. I was shocked. I was like, oh, they're going here. Oh, damn. Yeah, but it was cool.
But that fight though, bro. That fight though. Oh my God, the animation.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh,
It was
but
beautiful,
anyway.
man. They did some amazing stuff for that movie. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for the next season. But anyway, yeah.
Anyway, the next one was All Through the House. The children were sleeping. I don't know. I felt like saying the children are sleeping afterwards. But the next one was All Through the House, which is I think the kids they hear something downstairs and
Yeah, and they meet the fucked up version of Santa Claus.
that's not the Santa we expect. That's not the Santa we expect
Dude,
at all, man. But it
I
was
was.
beautiful. I actually loved the look of it.
Dude,
That stop motion style.
and that whole monster, that monster coming up and like sniffing you, like, okay, you were a good kid. Here's your toy.
That's terrifying.
But the most terrifying thing about that episode, it was the question that the sister asked, where she's like, what do you
Yes.
think would have happened if we were bad?
Yes, that's
And I was
the
thinking, holy
terrifying.
shit.
Yes, that's the terror right there, bro. It's the fact that if you see that as a kid, if you by any chance see that animation as a kid, you will be so good.
Never be. You know what? That's actually a good idea. If I ever have kids, I'm going to show them that episode of Love, Death, Robots. Like, this is Santa. You
It's
a
like,
bad kid. He's gonna eat you.
did you ever get told the thing about like maybe you were watching a movie and there was a sex scene and like your parents tell you stop looking,
Oh,
otherwise
your eyes
you,
are gonna explode.
yes, you know, those type of things.
Yeah.
I don't know how I felt for that as a kid. I look back, I'm like, how did I fall for that? It's crazy, man.
The thing is, you look back at yourself as a kid and you think, and you're like, I was not that dumb. I was not stupid, but I fell for that.
You were not stupid, sir. I was scared the Undertaker was gonna come into the house and kill me. That's who I was. Okay. I
Man.
still, when the
Oh.
lights go out sometime, I'm still like, ah, shit. Here we go. Okay, but the next one after All Through the House was Life Hutch, which is the Michael B. Jordan starring one where he's a space marine. I heard
Yeah.
this one described as a claustrophobic horror, which is an interesting description for this. He goes to this place where it's supposed to be like a safe thing, but something went wrong
Oh,
with it, and then there's a it's one of those robots that just want to kill you, one of those robots that just want to kill you, man. So what do you think of this one?
To start this off, I feel like Michael B. Jordan gets a bad rap. I feel like a lot of people underrate that guy. But that guy,
Really?
like, he's
Really? I
this
think he's a
dude.
little over. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Kidding. Jokes.
That guy gets a bad rap, man. Like, he puts in some solid performances, when he really, and it's always when people don't expect it. Black Panther and this episode of Love, Death, Robots for me is one of those things where I'm like, okay, I didn't expect that, Michael B, bro.
But I
Like,
liked
that
it.
was a performance. I liked it.
I also like the
And
choice to do it. Just like the choice to do it. A lot of people, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people would have said no, but like the
true.
stereotype that I have in my head of somebody who's that successful is that they probably just say no to things like this. Like, oh, it's a 5-minute animation thing. Yeah, that's not me. That's not me. Don't do that.
I feel like when Michael B is one of those few Hollywood actors that are like, oh man, that'll be so cool to do. That is such a cool fucking idea. Of course, I want to jump into that, And I remember during the week we talked like what episodes, what 3D episodes were done with motion capture. And I think definitely that Michael B episode had to have been motion capture because some of the stuff that happened there definitely.
You think so, man? I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like that was mocap. I feel like that was mocap, man. I really feel like that was mocap.
I can't wait to look at the behind the scenes now. Yeah. We have to settle this. We have to know. You have to show us, Netflix. You have to show us.
We must know.
Okay, so there was also the last one, The Drowned Giant. What did you think about this one?
I feel like this was a weak end. It was a weak ending to the season.
Yeah.
It was a cool, like telling of like how people are sometimes, where like they'll get fascinated by a thing for a certain amount of time before they decide, ah, it's boring. We're just gonna spray paint over it and like chop it up or something. But also, it was like a really cool telling of like people's obsession with trophies. At the end, people had like the giant, people had the skull and like the femur or something, and like that one guy who put the giant's penis in a giant tank. Why? But okay.
It's so funny. I loved it. I thought it was a bad end purely because it was at the end. Because it's such a like peaceful episode. It's kind of like a calming episode. I would like to see this somewhere in the middle, you know. I feel like everybody wants to go
Sure.
out with a bang, you know, something a bit more. It wouldn't have been Pop Squad as an ender. I'm trying to think of like which one in my head, like automated customer service, like something like that is actually like a good ender.
It is. They could have actually switched places. The drowned giant could have been at the start and then automated customer service at the end. It would have worked out.
I don't know about giant at the start, but yeah, customer service at the end, because I feel like the end has to be something, not something maybe, not something like Pop Squad, because that's bad. You don't want to end it there. That's not where you want to end it, okay? Pop Squad is not
Dead
where you want to
children.
end. But not even Snow in the Desert, because even that one seems a bit dreary for an ending. But automated customer service has this like fun vibe to it that at least I feel would be a nice way to finish the show. But I actually enjoyed it. I loved the narration, the voice. I'm a big fan of that prose. I like the sound of it. I like the sound of that narration. I'm a big lover of voiceover. I know people
I hear.
voiceover gets a bad rap. I know people don't
It
like
does.
it. I love it.
I did. I love that shit. I love somebody telling me what's going on.
Yeah, just tell me, dude. Just tell me. I'm dumb as hell. Tell me everything. And like explore these like big ideas with me, you know? Let's explore this thing, you know. Just read me those words. I like it. It was a cool concept though. A nice, interesting. Visually, I can't fault it. The placement of it is just mind-boggling.
Yeah,
You
now
want me to
the
go out
place.
on this? Yeah, but that's it until 2022, buddy.
That's it. I was excited, right, when I found out there's a new season coming, but overall, season one still takes the cake, and I wasn't disappointed by it. It was really entertaining. But it comes in at a time where, like, where people are also waiting for Rick and Morty, and people also want to see how Rick and Morty is gonna go. Rick and Morty also has a lot to live up to, so it's that kind of thing where it's like all these returning animations that people absolutely go crazy over have this like thing to live up to.
Yeah, especially when I think like season one, I also feel like a part of the mystique of season one is that we'd never seen something like that before. Like there'd been
Exactly.
the Matrix anthology animation stuff, but apart from that, I don't feel like we had gotten this, which is like a bunch of animations stitched together into a series. But like these episodes I can name from like. From starting from episode one of of season one, like Sonny's Edge, I remember that. I remember three robots, you know, like
I
things
love
like
three.
that.
Oh, and the robot's so much fun.
Even like early when I named Zima Blue, like you remembered it. You remembered it, which means it definitely stuck with you. You even said the style was familiar, like.
There was there was that one episode in season one where like it's the soldiers, they're like on this ridge and like these like vampires or something.
Russia,
Yes.
the Secret
Yes,
War.
that one. Yes, yeah. Oh. Dude, that episode hit so hard. I ended up writing a story on that same day, and then like I was like, yeah, that episode was good.
Yeah, man, it's just a great series that season one was, man. But yeah, it's tough to it's gonna be tough for another series of Love, Death and Robots to do what that did to us. You know, it's just the bar that it set, man. But yeah, we've talked a lot of stuff. Do you have anything that you've watched this week that you're like, oh my
I mean,
God?
I literally didn't watch anything this week apart from Love, Death, Robots and like 10 minutes of CW's Kung Fu, which like I gotta say, again, I was impressed by the fight sequences. Man, yeah, those fight sequences are clean, like the martial arts. I thought they named it, I thought they named it Kung Fu for the for the sake of it being named Kung Fu, but like fight sequences are clean. And I'm still mind boggled by how Asian that cast is. I watched a whole 10, 15 minutes that I didn't see any Caucasian, I didn't see any black person in that show. It was like literally just Asians all over the place. I'm like, fuck, that is freaking awesome.
Yeah, man,
Because
let's
like people,
let the Asian people get it, man. I feel like we
dude.
are like black people always complaining. Like Asian people, they get nothing, dude.
Asian people get nothing. Asian people have been getting nothing so long. They were like, fuck you guys, we're gonna do our own thing in Korea and China.
Well, I mean, I mean, those are their own countries. You know? It's like it wasn't even vindictive. They've just been doing their thing, you know. And also, like, sometimes they do have characters, and then those characters are just whitewashed. Like, I'm sorry, Scarlett Johansson, but come on, man.
Oh, dude, come on, Scarlett. Why did she take the role? I would have left it alone, man. I would have not touched that role, man. Knowing full well that the person is Asian, I would have been like, nah, get her. And then looked at my name, and then looked at my character name, and it's Japanese. I'm like, nah,
I understand that it's a cool character. That's why she wanted to do it's a cool character. Like Scarlett likes doing cool characters, but it's just give them something, man. Just give them this
no.
one. You know what I mean?
Even with Mortal Kombat, with with the casting of Joe Taslim and Hiroyuki Sanada, people were like, no, that didn't make sense. These guys are Asian. Yeah, they've been Asian. It's just like y'all can confuse them with white people.
That is true. It's just what we do, man. But
crazy.
pretty soon, and I feel like it's already out because I'm seeing so many things about it. Army of the Dead is on the way. Listen, we've made a few podcasts about this, so
Indeed.
like it's sort
So
of our responsibility to tell you that it's coming out, so that when we actually do talk about this on a podcast, you guys are not
it's
like,
gonna
oh,
be
it spoiled
intense.
it.
So, cause like in cinemas, it's out. Select cinemas. I haven't seen anything about it this side in South Africa. But I know that on Netflix is dropping like May 26th. That's like end of next week or something.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's really, really soon. That's what I remember.
Snyder Sons continues.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it actually says Army of the Dead will be released on Netflix on Friday the 21st of May. Body.
What? Just like that?
I don't know, but it seems like it's coming out tomorrow.
Whoa. Okay. Jeez, I didn't ex I mean m my brain was fully like entrenched in like, yeah, we're seeing Army of the Dead next week, and it's got, I mean, for the main part, I'm watching it because it's Snyder and Dave Bautista working together. I mean, we're never probably gonna see that again, you know what I mean?
What are you saying it like that? Like Dave like really wanted this, by the way. He like skipped out on doing a role in Suicide Squad with James Gunn to
For
actually
sure.
have something done with Zach. So yeah, that's sweet.
And yeah, it's really cool. And like Zach keeps on like going on about like how great it was to work with Dave first, which is also pretty cool. And the funny thing is like with all the stuff that Dave Bautista's done, I remember the in this interview that he I forgot which interview it was that he did. But then he was talking about all these movies that he's been able to do, and like the movie that he cited as his favorite thing that he's done in his career so far is Hotel Artemis, and not a lot of people saw that, and he's aware that not a massive chunk of people saw that, but he's like he's really fucking proud of that thing, and I really love that thing.
Yeah, I have not seen that thing. I'm one of those guys.
You gotta watch that because I think Hotel Artemis is also. It's another film that's set in that Blade Runner vein of cyberpunk.
I didn't know that. I feel like I saw the trailer a long time ago and I was like, okay, I'll see you. And then, life happened.
I totally saw it by chance. I remember it was a day when I downloaded it and then I'd watched like everything else. Then it was just sitting there and I was like, ah, okay, let's check it out. I didn't even know Dave Bautista was in that until I started watching it.
Okay, so that should be the end of the podcast. Sign us out,
Yes.
buddy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Dapless. And we have talked some real shit at the start. A lot of anger to get some shit out there at the start of that episode. And then we talked writing. And then we ended it off with some Love, Death, Robots and
Oh, and
Army of
follow
the
us.
Dead.
Follow us on Instagram and and the
Oh,
tweets.
yeah, Instagram, Twitter, Dabbler's Pod on both, and and then there's this thing I've had this scene in my head for weeks, so I'm gonna throw it in here. And please don't forget to like tell your friends all about us and tip your cabbie because he's broke. So yeah, that's me signing off. I've been Q, he's been the Shogun. I know what I said, but this is it. Dablis.